Blog Talk Radio. Hi, everybody. You're live with Gina's Groove Theory. It is 11:03 p.m. This is KXRW, your community connection internet radio station, broadcasting live out here in Long Beach. And hi, of course, I'm Gina. You're sitting in with us tonight. Thank you for joining us, and we're going to have us a great night as well. Tell your friends. It's like my brother says, you tell 25 of your friends and tell those 25 friends to tell the 25 of their friends, and then we'll have a whole lot of people out here giving their views and points of opinion. And we're going to be bringing in, since I'm back in school this semester, we're going to be bringing in try to get some of my professors to come on in and join out there too. I do have a professor out there, Miss Simpelli. Much love to her. Much love to my daughter out there, Dominique. She's out there riding. And happy birthday to my son, Cortez Dixon. Happy 24th birthday. Let's say 24 years ago, I was having you, and that was a beautiful thing. So much love to you, baby. Like we always start our night off on this show, we always give praise and thanks to God up above who made everything possible for me today to be here. So let's go ahead and do that. Give Big G his recognition. Shows have been very powerful. They've been about relationships, what women should know, what questions should we ask, what should we be looking for, and as vice versa for men as well. Dating out here today is kind of difficult for a lot of people. There are a lot of people out here who have all kinds of reasons for why they're dating, and a lot of them are not dating just because they're looking for commitment or furthering a relationship with someone. And being that, you got a lot of game players and a lot of players, gold diggers, you know, we've talked about them before out here. You got a lot of people out here who got motives, hidden motives. So I'm crying out, like I've been crying out all evening, to my Facebook friends and my clergy people out there who are on my Facebook, to call on in and say, let us know what it is that we should be looking forward to when we're looking to get into a marriage or we're looking to get into a relationship. What are the things we should, set our sights on? You know, what is it that we should do to shore up ourselves as women, as men, so that, you know, we won't keep repeating the vicious cycle of, you know, relationship to relationship to relationship to relationship. You know, my brother, the Bishop Brett, has been out here 3 nights in a row, and he's been kind of bringing it out here and laying it out there, too, because he's been married now going on, I do believe, 31 years, maybe. And he has went through some ups and downs, and he was quite a character growing up, as I was his little sister, 6 years younger than him, and I saw a lot of that. And so, I mean, a lot of the things that I saw him do really kind of, you know, defined me, designed me to the kind of woman I am today. And so with that, you know, I was very proud and very grateful that he did, you know, come out here and keep it real. A lot of people don't like to do that these days. They kind of sugarcoat the truth. They kind of, you know, want you to know. They want to smoke screen everything as opposed to coming out there keeping it real. Well, you know, that's not really helping us. You know, that's not giving us any, you know, any feedback. What we need is real people out here who have real concerns, real advice, real, you know, real good intent on seeing your communities full of husbands, wives, and children. I mean, you know, the world can be like that. It could be just, you know, a family society of people, as opposed to, you know, just everybody out here for, you know, everybody out to get what they want to get and every man for themselves. That's not what community is all about. So if there's anything that we can do to kind of better that, any way that we can encourage our brothers and sisters out there, no colors and no color lines at all involved, to kind of reach out, let's talk to each other, men and women alike, talk to each other and see what it is that we're lacking or what we can do or where can we meet at some common ground to be able to say, okay, well, we're ready to settle, we want to do this. You know, marriage is not just a bad thing, it's not just what you do on TV and you don't get $1 million to do it. So with that, we're going to go ahead and I'm going to play something along the lines of what a relationship would mean. So let's go to Kiki Shepherd, My First Love.
Beginner's love soon fades away.
Hi, everybody. This is Gina's Groove Theory. You're back. It is now 11:13 p.m. It's September 10th, 2012. My shout out to my baby. Happy birthday, Cortez. 24 years, baby. You made me really proud. You and your sister are beautiful young people. I am very awesomely blessed. I played My First Love for most of you guys out there. You remember that first time that you were in love? Remember that first person that you fell in love with? How sweet and how everything felt so good to you, and it seemed like you looked into the sky and all you saw were fireworks and cherry bombs going off, and you looked into each other's eyes and you were like, oh, I'm smitten. Remember that? If you can dig deep back into your memory and bring forward some of those memories back in the day, you know, and come on out here and bring them out here. Maybe you could share those memories, like I said about the bishop. You know, out of those years that he was married, I'm quite sure there were so many nights and days that they had a lot of hard times and struggles, and there were some things that they had to get over and some things they had to overlook. And there's insecurity. There's all kinds of issues out here, you know, in relationships. And you know, financial being the number one is that we have problems in our relationships, you know, because finance seemed to tear up a family, tear up a house, a business. You know, finances are more important these days to some people, and sometimes people marry to gain more finances. Whatever the question is, you know, there are some serious citizens out here who are looking for some real love. You know, they don't want to put up no more with the running through and the, you know, take another number kind of situations out there. They want something real and true. And I got some friends that I know who are close to me who are looking for that. And as you guys heard, what Saturday night broadcast live, I had L&L in here, and they were talking about love and their new love and how they found love and what really made it really work for them. And, you know, I did hear God out there from, you know, people. I did hear them say that. I did hear Leon, half of the L&L, say that he went to God. That was encouraging. Then I heard a lot of good things. I heard a lot about some spiritual finding and some, you know, some digging deep within ourselves. And, you know, hey, let's put some of that together and come up with a nice formula that we can, you know, have some meaningful relationships. We can walk away from this show tonight and say, wow, I can take a fresh start, start it all over, and let's see what's really going on, you know. So to that, we're going to go ahead and we're going to play something real smooth for you guys, something that I haven't played for a minute. Let's say, okay. We're going to go ahead and go here, and just in recognition of my brother. Well, he ain't out here yet, so we're going to go ahead. We're going to go ahead and take it here. Is there anything in your life that you would do? Is there anything that you would give up for the person that you're in a relationship with or your marriage? Would you give it all up for your husband or your wife or your girlfriend or your boyfriend, your mate, your significant other, whatever the case may be? Would you give it up? Or do they mean the world to you? Or is there nothing in the world that would matter to you if they weren't in it?
Hands on my side while I'm tearing in your brown eyes.
Hello, everybody. You're back with Gina's Groove Theory. It is now 11:20 in the p.m. This is September 10th, 2012. You're representing here out of Long Beach. This is Gina's Groove Theory, and I'm Gina. Tonight's show, actually, the title of the show tonight, I asked the question on Facebook, what is it that people really expect? What are we looking for in our relationships today as far as dating? Are you single? Are you looking? Are you available? Are you interested in marriage, commitment? Are you one of those people who are just flowing with, going with the flow and enjoying what's going on, whatever's happening? Or are you one of those kind who, just like some of us really pretty much we're more so interested in trying to settle down, have a wholesome and full and complete relationship with our loved ones. And so, what is it that you guys are about? And as you saw, I just went ahead and played two nice little slits out there for you guys who are already in love. Maybe you guys can call in and give us some clues on what it is that we need to do that we can, get some of that goodness that you guys got out there. What makes your relationship work? If you're in a relationship, yes, we'd love to have you out here to speak. Tell us what limits that you made and how far you went to be with your loved one. Send it out. So while you guys are thinking and considering that, I'm gonna go ahead and send out Mary J. Love No Limit.
Thank you.
everybody. We're back with Gina's Guru Theory. Tonight is September 10th, 2012. It is now 11:27 p.m. This is KXRW, your community connection internet radio station, broadcasting live to you guys. Tonight, actually, what do you think about relationships? We've been having several relationship shows, kind of back to back, and we've had a lot of honest and open voices about, I mean, and coming from the highest to the highest and to the ground level of people who have called, who have came out to speak and to admit that, you know, pretty much, especially when it comes to guys with girls, you know, now it's kind of, the game is kind of like, from what I'm getting from a lot of people, it's a give or take on either side. I don't know if there is many as women out there who are looking to have a marriage and commitment as maybe back in the day. I don't know. I'm thinking, my circle of friends, you know, they're more so suitable for a tie, you know, being in a committed relationship. I don't know. That circle of female friends that I have, you know, everybody pretty much wants to, you know. But then when I speak to a lot of guys, you know, a lot of guys are saying, they're doing a lot of, you know, lying, and then also too, ladies are lying too. Everybody's out there lying to get, you know, pretty much get where they need to get or where they want to be in someone else's say bed or whatever the case may be. It's kind of like a dog-eat-dog-y kind of world, kind of corporate dating, I guess you could say. While everybody's corporate dating out here, then, you know, some of us are getting left on the sidelines. You know, you have some men out here too who are crying out. They're saying, hey, you know, they want some serious relationships. And what is it that maybe that each opposite of sex is really looking for, that maybe could be, we are more so drawn, like they do say. I mean, I'm a human service major, and pretty much I know, we learned this in the book learning, that, you know, sometimes you're drawn to the same type of people depending on what, you know, whatever your past is. You know, there were some touching on this last night when they were talking more so of, you know, how women have derived to where they are today, what has made, what has formed women to be, you know, the way they are, and what has formed some men as well to, you know, what in their past could have, you know, triggered their bodacious kind of out there kind of way. You know, everybody's, you know, just like I said a couple of weeks ago, one of my people out here, he had admitted, he said pretty much that females look at it like this, they don't really care about, you know, if you're, you know, with someone, or, you know, they're just like, they're out to get theirs. And so, you know, that right there was like, wow, like that. And, you know, and all I had to say about that was, you know, I feel sorry for anybody who has to feel that way, because, see, to me, you know, I'm of the utmost importance. And you know what? I don't have to take no sloppy seconds or thirds from anybody. And I'm like, you know what? If it's like that, you just keep it rolling with that, and you keep that going your way, because really, hey, I'd rather be just me than be me and everybody. And that also has came out, too, in the topic, too. You know, all the people that we lay with, you know, we do gain their spirits, you know, and it's not just the person you lay with, but it's the people that they have laid with. So if they're laying with a whole bunch of people, you know, they're out there laying out there with a whole bunch of folks, everybody that you, when you lay with that person, that means you're picking up their spirit. Now, some of you guys don't believe in that, but yeah. Yeah, some of us do. It's every man for himself when it comes down to deciding, you know, what do you know is right to do, or how you know is good to live. Now, of course, there are some people out there, there's some men and women alike who have had life experiences that has drove them into a lot of promiscuous behavior. That's a part. That's something. See, that's way past dating. So, you know, when it did come out about, you know, mental illness and so forth, that, you know, we didn't touch on it. See, a person who has dealt with traumatic life experiences, you know, to be honest with you, taking it from me because I'm a survivor, they need to focus on them. That means, as far as relationships and stuff like that, not the right time. This is like anybody who is suffering from addiction, anybody that's suffering from any of those mind-altering things, they need to focus on getting well before they can really truly focus on being in a relationship. So that's one thing that did not get said night before last. Yes, that's a whole different ball game. Because, see, that person has to rebuild from themselves on up. So that means that you have to take a real, you know, if you're the person like I was, you have to take a serious look at yourself and be honest with yourself and correct what it is in you to be able to work in any functioning relationship, communications with people. You have to get good with you. So you guys just take that, you know, take that too. So if you're dealing, I was talking to a male friend of mine, and he had said that he had met a young lady who was suffering from schizophrenia. And he told me of all his ups and downs with her, you know. And after listening to him and, you know, knowing a person, I have survived mental illness myself, surviving it still today. And that right there is a very, very, very serious relationship. And in that case, all I could say is the other person can do is to encourage that person to get help, be supportive. But then that person is going through a very crucial time in their life. And they're kind of like haywire. They might need to be medicated. They might need a little bit of therapy. So what you would be best for you to do if you can't be in support of a fullness and be open-minded with a person like that, it's best to let that person get the help and motivate them towards getting the help that they need. And, you know, don't add insult to injury, because that's basically what you're going to get. It is now September 10th, 2012. It is now 11:34 in the p.m. You're broadcasting here out of Long Beach. This is Gina's Groove Theory, and you're talking to Gina. This is KXRW, your community connection internet radio station, broadcasting live. Much love. Thanks to all of you guys out there who are out here listening. And I'm going to go ahead and send this little shout out there, too. We're going to keep it really upbeat. So let's go there. We can't be broken. You know, pretty much we are unbreakable in our relationships and in our loves and in our families. So let's say unbreakable.
Clap your hands, everybody. Clap your hands. Come on, keep it going. Clap your hands, everybody. Clap your hands, everybody. Let's do it. You ready? Back like Bill and Camille.
Hello, hi everybody. You're back with Gina's Groove Theory. It is 11:39 in the p.m. It's September 10th, 2012. Representing here at Long Beach, you're with Gina. Tonight, we are talking about relationships. What it is that men and women are seeking? Is it more so being single? Is single the best thing to be right about now? There's a lot of pointing fingers at each other, because you have the men, like our show from Saturday night, you have the men who are saying, you know, women drive them to do the things that they do and encourage them to, you know, get theirs and get the step in, I guess. And then in that case, you know, I mean, and the women are pretty much kind of like that too. It's more so what's going on, you know. You know, it's more people like Bishop Fred had brought it out. He said, hey, you know, there's more to, you know, just the bed. You know, it's more to getting to know someone, getting close with someone, especially not as so intimacy is so, you know, wise early on in a relationship. But what is it that you guys think? Do you think that maybe I brought this out, let's say this was a couple of weekends ago, and I said I believe on the first date that, you know, you should let the person know that, hey, you're looking to get married, this is what you want, and lay it out. And then my son Cortez, whose birthday is today, and 19 more minutes it'll be over, he said that, no, you got to scare people off. Mama, you can't be like that. Well, I said like this, keep it real. I mean, because we have these shows about men out here who are out to get what they can get, you know, our show. And then that Bishop came out here and told it just the way he used to think when he was out there amongst the dating world and walking on, you know, on earth with the two-legged man too, you know, before he was saved and he found a better I guess in his life, he's ready and willing to give it back to you guys to tell women as well as men what it is that we should look forward to and what are the signs and key things that you should be aware of in these relationships where you know, you're going to be the only one that's in it to win it, and that person is in it to get it. So those are things that we are talking about tonight on this show. You know, we need some real, real, true people out here. And I must say, as far as Bishop was concerned, and most of my guests out here who call out here and they come in to represent, they're real, real true to the game about it, and they do keep it 100. That's one thing that we can do here on Gina's Groove Theory is bring what we do know, not what we think, but what we have lived. You know, hey, it's hard to speak on some things that you never experienced, but if you walk that walk, we're ready and willing to hear that talk. So bring it, you guys. And here's a shout out there to you guys out there who are maintaining good relationships and are in it to win it and are handling family business, juggling love, intimacy, and all that. Much love to you guys, okay? Give us your good tidings on what it is that you guys do to keep you guys strong.
I want to tell you.
Where you got it, I'm the hottest around. They'll know it when they see you rolling them pollers around it.
I got a soldier.
With the top down, feeling the sound quaking and vibrating your thighs. Riding harder than guys with the chrome wheels at the bottom, white leather inside. When them lanes be spitting at you, tell them don't even try to shoot it with Shell and kick it with Kelly or holler at B. You gotta be G's, you way out of your league.
We like them boys that be in them like leaning. Open their mouth, they grill, gleaming. Candy paint, keep their whip cleaning.
They always be talking that country slang. We like
that beat, they be in the back beating. I be so low from that chiefin'. I love how he came up by this screaming. A rude boy that's good to me with street credibility.
It's gotta stay hood. I ain't tripping for him, but I'll be straight if they're looking at me. I need a soldier, and it's just
like them boys up top from the BK. Know how to put that money three ways. Always riding big on the freeway.
With that East Coast slang, that us country girls we like.
Low cut teasers with the deep waves. So quick to snatch up your Beyonce. Always coming down, popping our way.
Telling us that
mind putting that on me.
Cash money is the army. I'm walking with purple hearts on me. You're talking to the sergeant. Body marked up like the subway in Harlem. Call him, we the F baby. Please say the baby. If you don't see me on the block, I ain't trying to hide. I blend in with the hood. I'm camouflage, bandana tied. So mommy join my troop. Now every time she hear my name, she salute.
It's a Saturday hood. I ain't checking for them.
On the phone tonight, homie in the dickies in my zone tonight. He don't know it might be on tonight. Oh, he looking good and he talking right. He the type that might change my life. Every time he look at me, my girls be like, that one may be the one tonight.
If it's time.
Hi, everybody. You're back with Gina's Groove Theory. It is now 11:47 p.m., September 10th, 2012. You're broadcasting here with me in Long Beach, California. Thank you guys for joining us. Pretty much our whole subject tonight was more so of what is it that men and women both want out of relationships. And the last four shows we had some real serious, some admittances of some serious, behaviors of what, men, did and how they thought. And, we found it pretty encouraging. And today, checking from Saturday's show, which is more so along the lines as well, when I looked a little bit earlier, it's 115 archived listens. And so it's kind of like, I guess, keeping it real 100% is really working pretty good with my show as well. I was going to go ahead and share. I had a As most of you guys know, I'm a writer as well. My first love is to write, and then, of course, I do sing, too. And so there's a lot of things I got going on, not all the things that I can touch at one time. But I do stay steady with my writings, and I do have encouragements out there that keep me writing and keep me motivating. And also, too, a lot of my writings, just like how you have artists who are musicians and they write their own material, a lot of their material comes from their lives, and a lot of my material does too. So I'm going to share with you guys what I had wrote, and it's called actually How to Date According to Your Needs. There are two kinds of people, relationship-minded and not. Each has a different style of dating with requirements, a custom by the individual. A good relationship is a goal. A bad relationship is a problem. Breaking down the definition of each so that it is clear and comprehensible even to an immature person. I will begin in description with detail. A good relationship is a goal. When people set out to accomplish goals, they are expecting to improve themselves. A goal is a concept of relationships are the same in any form, but it is slightly different. This is an internal upgrade rather than an external outside the body rearranging and building. For instance, internal can be viewed as biologically structured. You can say that it is the heart, the brain, the kidney, and that is being reconstructed. Eternal is the appearance, style, and so forth. A good relationship is a work in progress, a forever changing reinvention. To a relationship should first measure, reinvention to enhance the quality. For starters, individuals in the market for a relationship should first measure their outcome, their expected outcome in decades rather than year to year, minute to minute, and like the non-commitment-minded moment-to-moment thinking person. Reason being, if you define your life by what, who, and where you want to be in 10 years from now, prior to meeting or looking, that should be established. If you come to the conclusion that you are seriously desiring a committed one-on-one relationship, made aware that when you are actively seeking it, the environment is of a number one priority. The only way to meet people is outside of work and home. Many people make the unfortunate decision to go to the club or bar to do so. Statistically, recognize is that most relationships that begin there are short-lived and later become problematic. Pardon me. Okay, prematurely. Okay, and they also simply because they all too soon incorporate sex prematurely. Well, don't get me wrong. There has been relationships that have survived and remained healthy after early introduction of sex. Intimacy, but not many. One must be understood that the two are different and the elements foreign to the other. Sex and relationship constitute emotion. Sex is a feeling of euphoria that satisfies the reproduction organs. A relationship doesn't actually involve the act of sex. You can enter one that is absent of sexual intercourse that can be healthy and fulfilling. So with that, people, that's something for you guys to think on, run across your minds, and figure it's not all about, and just like what Bishop said, it's not all about sex. I mean, we shouldn't define, you know, who our mates are by how they are in the bedroom. So that's something for you guys to toss about. But then if you guys feel that you should, those out there who are willing to stand up and represent, say, yeah, you know, I got to know what's crack-a-lacking on the inside of the area. If that's your kind of get down, you go ahead and give me a call. You know the number is 347-327-9517. Okay, here we go. We're going to send this shout on out here. I'm going to touch a few people. So back with you, 212. I see the Bishop is out and about, so we're going to go ahead and send this shout out there to him. Here you go. Slow and easy. Hey, everybody. We're back with Gina's Groove Theory. It is now 11:57, still 3 minutes and counting before Cortez's birthday is over. Happy birthday one more time to my son. Happy 24 years. He's a blessing, and thank him. Got to thank him very much for being the encouraging young man that he is. You're broadcasting here out of Long Beach. This is Gina from Gina's Groove Theory, and I'd like to thank you guys for being out here as well. Much love out there to Long Beach City College, all my classmates out there, you know. I'll see you tomorrow at 9:30, like nobody's business. We're going to make it happen this semester, okay? Also, I know you guys got that little message about what's going on with the college, about getting sending out a letter, if you could possibly, to help with keeping the Human Services Department over there. You know, with the budget cuts and so forth that's going on, you know, hey, they're claiming that a lot of monies are going to certain things, and a lot of, you know, a lot of real important college things. And this is just not affecting community college, you guys. So this is as far as the UC and, you know, Cal State level as well. So you guys better know, you know, these budget cuts are going to affect everybody. So really, you know, you guys have your human services. I mean, next after human services, that's just another branch of what psychology would be. So you guys need to think about it, okay? Those that go out of human services go into psychology. I mean, that's what I plan on doing and opening my own private, you know, business as well. So with that, you guys need to know, okay, if they're going to be cutting out some of the financial aid for you guys, then that means it's going to be a little bit harder for our education to get paid. And then, hey, we all could use a little bit of love right about now. So with that, we're going to go ahead, and I'm going to send this shout-out there to a special friend. Here it goes. I like this little cut. You guys like it, too. So Purple Kisses, back in 2 and 2.
So which one of these do you like? Just Lip Pedal by Bobby Brown and Hold On. This is The Near by Mac. Which one do you like best?
Come on, come on. You know, you look good when your makeup ain't on, right?
On for me, that lip gloss for me.
Got your hair did
about to mess that shit up. My gun's on fire, it's about to be a stick up.
Back with Gina's Groove Theory. It is now 12:04, September 11th, in acknowledgement of September 11th, 2001. I will take a moment of silence to acknowledge all the people that we lost in September 11th. Okay, everybody, it is now 12:05 a.m. It's September 11th, 2012. Thank you for being out here tonight. We were discussing one of the main things that we didn't touch on, basically, is that when we start to decide what mate we should be thinking of, we should be thinking of, too, for the ones out there who are of childbearing years as well. On what it is that we should do as far as what do we expect of our children, too. And also to those parents out there who are amongst the dating world, who are raising young children, too. It came to mind, you know, I had a friend who, you know, pretty much I saw how she raised the shit two boys, and I saw how she pretty much raised them. And some of the things, you know, she did around them was really wild and crazy to me. And so also, too, it's something to consider, too. You know, we're raising our children to be respectful of others, and if we don't, cheapen ourselves in front of our children, then our children have an opportunity to see what it is to be an adult and what it is to be a thoughtful adult, a morally conscious adult, and not to, you know, I mean, whatever, pretty much, basically, you know, whatever you do. Hey, I'm quite sure a lot of parents out here, you know, no one out here is really innocent to anything, but some things, you know, we could do as single parents, we can limit that from our children seeing, too. Also, too, you got to give respect to that particular situation. When you're single and you're not with the kids, the other parent to the children that you guys are having, both parents should be cautious and thoughtful of how they behave in their relationships, you know, too. And maybe, you know what, something else came to mind as well. Limiting, you know, your, you know, access to your children, to your people that you're dating, too, because, you know, sometimes, you know, that might be a premature thing as well. So you got to consider all these factors, you know. I mean, you know, I have adult children, but then also, too, whatever you bring your, you know, into your kids' lives is what they have to base that from. And so if you want them to be respectable individuals, then you need to have, you know, that same setup, too. It's more so not being a hypocrite, but being, you know, practice what you preach. You know, hey, we all are guilty of making mistakes, but you know what? We can kind of correct these mistakes, just like the bishop has said. You know, all of that makes into community. That's where we all have to come together at some type of, you know, head and say, this is what we need to do. Because we can all sit around and say what it is that we need to, what needs to be done, but what are we all going to do about it? And keeping it real 100 out here, saying it, what is on your mind and what is it that you feel, you know, is only bringing, you know, alert to others out here who may be just a little bit, you know, behind in time. You know, some of us out here thinking in cloud nine. You know, some of us ladies out here still might believe in the picket fence. So who knows, you know. You know, I still see bridesmaids, you know, I still see the books, they still cracking. So, you know, what's going on, you know, hey, we need to alert some of us out here and let us know what's really going on with what we should be looking forward to. And, you know, it's not too bad to, you know, give us a little bit of info on what's the 411. So here's a little Jodeci. I've played this in a while, so forever my lady.
We're
Hello, everybody. You're back with Gina's Groove Theory. It is now 12:14 a.m. It is September 11th, 2012. Broadcasting live out of Long Beach. This is Gina's Groove Theory, you guys. Actually, it's now yesterday. Yesterday, as I was rolling and I was kind of dropping some things, you know, I was talking to my brother about, you know, about how it is that women can kind of be empowered. Well, you know, he kind of dropped some little, you know, he dropped some about a little knowledge on me about, you know, being empowered too, and what you can do too if you're in those relationships in which you are being, you know, what you consider to be, you know, stretched. You know, it can give, you know, there's little steps that you can do that you can kind of free yourself a little bit. You know, you can kind of take yourself up out of that. I got somebody out here, and I do believe you guys all know who it is, but I guess when I said that, I guess it just had to bring him out. Anyways, but let's go ahead and say hello. Let's say hello.
How you doing?
Hey, how you doing? What's going on? Hey.
I'm doing fine. You know, I'm getting ready to start my shift at work. I was sitting back listening to the show and reminiscing on my relationship, you know, how I got started. All the drama and trauma and all that stuff that I went through growing up, you know. And, wow, you brought back some memories with the records you were playing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, wow, you know. You know, you were talking earlier. Could you repeat what you were saying earlier about relationships? I don't know, about 20 minutes ago.
Are you talking about how to date according to your needs? I was reading one of my writings. So you're talking about that?
Yeah, I just want you to summarize the last part you were saying.
Okay. Let's see. Summarize it. Let's go there. Okay, we're gonna go. Okay. All right, so you said summarize the last part. The last part would be as far as sex and in how pretty much about, it's not really about the sexual, the sex that matters.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it really doesn't, because, you know, I know this to be true. Sex doesn't define a relationship. It shouldn't, but then, you know, then I've had girlfriends that said, girl, wouldn't be me. I could, to me, the person is who you fall in love with, actually. It's not, you know. But then also, too, sex is lust, pretty much. That's when, you know, I mean, I would have to say it must be lust. You know, you could be lust worthy, right? I mean, when you're in that mode, then, you know, you're it was something that you said to me about what women should stop doing as far as how we should, you know, fall in love with guys. Speaking of this, go ahead and shoot it.
Well,
you know?
Well, there's many things you can do to protect yourself. And you probably say, well, why would he tell us how to protect ourselves? Well, because, you know, I have to give back, you know. I mean, we the only way it's going to get straight is somebody put it out there and get it straight. And if it's a man, if it's a woman, who cares? As long as we get it straight, you know. And we are not understanding what love is, and understanding that love is an emotion, and it doesn't come from intercourse. It doesn't come from sex. The love, it comes from your heart, and it's nothing to do with sex. Sex is a temporary feeling. Yeah, it feels good and great for the moment, but what happens after that moment's over? What happens after everybody kicks the covers off and they get up off the bed? What happens then? You know, who do you have in your life at that point when you have a crisis and when you can't have sex? When there comes a time when you possibly don't want to have sex anymore, what, does that person just leave you because there's no sex? The only reason, when a person's with you for one reason, as soon as that plays out, they leave. That's not love. Love is unconditional. Love is something. They'll be there through thick and thin. They'll be there if your arm fall off. They'll be there if your leg, you know, if your leg goes away. You know, they'll be there if your eyesight goes away. You know, they're there for the long haul. That's love, unconditional. you know, and that's what young ladies have to understand. You know, anybody can say, I love you, but is the actions matching up with the I love you that they're putting out? You know, I mean, I love you today and we're arguing and fussing and saying I hate you tomorrow. That's not love. You know, love wouldn't let a person do that or hurt you or say bad things to hurt you. Not saying that sometimes we slip. Yeah, we'll slip, but not every day or every other day. And you know, another thing, love wouldn't let a person go out and cheat on you and come back and say, I won't do it again, and they do it again. That ain't love. That's lust. There's a difference, you know, and that's what we got to put out there. We got to put it out there because we got to stop the trend of this thing because we got enough babies, mamas, and all this other crap going on because of lust. Lust and love are two different things. You put a lot more love out there, we have a lot less baby mama drama, okay?
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, I was just speaking on that as far as what, you know, we want to define our families. That's for people who are conscious of our future with the generation of our children who are going to be leading this country. That's more so something that they would want to be considering too. You know, when I was raising up my kids, you know, I mean, I wanted them to be productive in this world. I wanted them to have, and I'm going to say they had more morals and more virtues than I had. And that's a good thing, you know, and that's a surprising thing too as well. But, you know, you would want their children to be much more, you know, be better than you. I mean, you want them to think of higher standard things. You know, I listen to some of the things I hear young people say, and pretty much, you know, if we allow for them to just allow for their friends to tell them things and for them to, you know, be motivated by, you know, I mean, then we've let go a lot of things, just like the show we've had about who's raising our kids, who's telling our kids what they need to know about what it is to be, you know, prosperous. And you know what? My girlfriend told me the relationship her mother had with raising them, she never knew what love was. She never learned how to love. And you know what? In respect for that, too, there are some people out there who just don't know what love is. They've never been shown it.
Well, we have to start exposing them. And, you know, that's another thing. You know, we got all these churches, and nobody's showing what love is. You know, in my congregation, I have everybody hug each other, and I haven't turn around and say to each other, I love you. Because, you know, without love, there's nothing. You have nothing. You know, I see, you know, I have a big family, and I see my kids sometimes, yeah, okay, they're going to argue with each other and all that. But when you get to that point where you say, I hate you, hate is such it's a deep word. It's something that, you know, we shouldn't even have in our vocabulary, because if you knew what hate means that you could care less if a person expire or not. Hate means you could care less if they fall off the bridge or you wouldn't help them it's really bad. And these kids toss that word around like, you know, like it's just the thing to do. But you know what? On the other end of it all, they don't even have a reason to hate each other. And that's what's scary. What's scary is they haven't been through any drama. They don't have any, you know what I'm saying? They don't have any deep down things that happen to them for them to hate each other. So, you know, so we have to start building our kids' emotions right. We have to start letting them know what love is. Parents have to start giving love to their children so that their children will understand what love is. A lot of parents, you know, especially single parents, mothers, they have to go to work, you know, and support their kids. And most of the time the kids end up raising themselves, and then we wonder what's wrong, you know. What's wrong is there was no parent there to show them how to love. There was no parent there to guide them. Yeah, there was nobody there. You know, so the kid pretty much has to figure it out through his social cycle, through his friends. And, you know,
I was going to say, you know, being that we were latchkey kids too, to a certain extent, you know, do you think that we were taught what it was to begin with?
Well, you know what? Mom done the best she could do, but I know in my situation, I had to learn. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It took years of me I mean, you know, I had to figure it out because my emotions were so screwed up that, you know, I thought lust was love. And it's easy to do because, you know, you, I mean, especially when you go, you know, you go through a bunch of stuff, you know, and you're looking for a way to get some relief. Yeah, of course you're going to turn to sex. You know what I mean? Yeah, and that was my thing. My thing was, you know, as long as I'm getting some, I'm loving. And I was wrong, you know. And when it dawned on me, it dawned on me in my 30s. When I hit 30, it dawned on me because my wife, she checked me one day. I'll never forget it. She said to me, she said, "You're going to have to make up your mind. What is it that you want to do? Do you want to go out and have many women, or do you want this woman right here?" I'll never forget it. And I told her, I said, "I want you." She said, "Well, you're going to have to prove that." And from that day forth.
Oh, that's so sweet. That's so sweet.
But that's what happened.
She didn't kick in no door. She didn't kick down no door. She didn't, you know,
come in there. No, no. What she did
what
was.
You gonna
she,
do, nigga?
No, what she what, said, no, she didn't. It was no drama. It caught me by surprise the way she did it. She just, you know, she was straight out. And she checked me in such a way where I said, "You know what, you're right." And from that day on, you know, we had open talk. And I mean, it changed a lot in me. That made me understand, you know what, I can't keep hurting her. I can't keep doing what I'm doing to her. I can't, you know, it's not about me. I'm in a relationship. It's about us. And the more I hurt her, you know, I'm just hurting myself. You see, and that comes from, if you really want to know what that comes from not loving yourself.
Oh, yeah. That's it. Yep, they talk about it in the DVD. You know, we're pretty much bred. We came into this world already hating ourselves. And what that means you hate to see anything that looks like you. You hate things that are
well,
part of you, you know.
Well, you don't care. You don't look at the long run of things. See, you know, I look at the long run of things now. Now I look at all that. You know, I look at it like this, okay. Back then it was, okay, I want to conquer every coochie I can get.
Oh,
okay, that's how I looked at it.
Okay.
After I got checked, I know I said that word, but you know what? We talking, okay?
It's okay.
And I ain't one of these phony people to tell you that. Oh, I'm an angel. I'm no angel. Hey, ain't nobody no angel.
Coochie okay. Is the least of the words that they have used.
That's not a bad word in the vocabulary.
Okay.
That's not
it's
a.
Okay.
Yeah. But
okay.
Anyway. Politically correct, okay? I want to conquer all vaginas, okay? Okay, now look. Once I matured and I grew up, I looked at the ramifications of things. And the ramification of things is, hey, I could have brought her diseases. I could have brought her AIDS. It could have been so many things that went wrong, but yet I'm still telling that person I love them. It's something wrong with that. It's something wrong with that. How can I go home and tell her I love you and I'm sleeping with everybody?
Yeah, and they got other people on you. That's what I was speaking of, too. I do firmly believe in that, you know, you kind of take on
Are you talking about the spiritual aspect?
I believe in that. And you know what? Let's say this. I'm not no religious. You know, your sister ain't a religious. You know, I don't be beating down the church door to get in. But the case is, you know, I do believe that. Yeah, everybody that you know. I mean, and you know what? I think today is more I'm getting a lot of people like, man, I get my AIDS check. You know, I'm getting a lot of this trip. I get my AIDS check. You know, wait a minute. So now you just go ahead. You doing it? And you like fuck it? I'm gonna get excuse. Well, no, no excuse. You just say, fuck it, I'm going to go ahead and get an AIDS test. Well, see, don't you think the test after the fact could be too late for you? I mean, I get mine every 3 months.
I know a young lady right now. I have a young lady right now in my church. And, you know, her old man, he was on the down low. That's what they call it when you like men, you know. And
that's another show.
He was, I mean, you got to have this show. This show's something else.
Oh, yeah.
And he was out there.
Yeah.
He was out there with men while he was in a relationship with her. And then he got messed up. Somebody messed him up. Somebody did it to him in his back door. And his back door got tore up, and it got infected. And now he has a colostomy bag.
Okay.
Yeah, but check this out. All in the process of all that, he contracted HIV.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
So just by the grace of God, she's been checked and checked and checked and checked, and it's not there. But then again, it hasn't been the 5-year period.
Oh, yeah, because that's what people don't understand. It got to be 5 years. I mean, come on, you know, you could contact it and it'd be a year before you get a positive fucking result.
But check this part out. This is the craziest part of all. She's had 2 children since then.
Wow.
So you know, I mean, you know, what men do and what women do, you know, it really is damaging to more than just themselves. That's what I mean. You have a different outlook on life once you mature. And you mature, you see things differently. And that causes you to understand what love is and respect love. You have to respect love. I can't just say I love you, because when people love you, they'll get up in the middle of the night, no matter where you are, broke down, drunk, whatever the situation, and they'll come to your rescue. People that love you, if you ain't got no food in your refrigerator, they'll come put some food in that refrigerator, even if it's their last money. People that love you, they love you unconditionally. You could be burned up, you could be tore up, whatever the situation. They're going to love you no matter what.
Yeah, I'm here.
No, I'm getting ready to pull out right now.
Oh, you driving that big wheel? I've seen that big wheeler on Facebook. It's pretty nice. You going on with your bad self. Is that a Mack or is that a Volvo?
No, this is a Freightliner.
Freightliner? Whoa.
It's a 13.
You going on with your bad self. You shitting in high continence. Pulling that full up.
Well, you can put it any way you want, but yeah, well... It took a while.
Well, you know, that's how Nanny would put it. You know, your sister just going to shout out there. I know you're a bishop and no disrespect at all. You know, I would never go there with you. But the case is, you know, yeah, I saw her. She's looking pretty nice. She kind of looked like a girl to me. But, you know, I'm
yeah,
probably,
that's her name. Her name is Rose Petal.
Rose Petal? Oh, Rose Petal. Go ahead and give us a little toot-toot. Give us a little toot-toot.
Someone asked me, they said, why do you name all your vehicles women? I said, because I love women, and I do. I love my girls. I love, most of all, you know, I love my wife. I love my sister. I love all women in my life, because without women, where would we be?
Without women?
Where would we be?
Let me ask you this question. Okay, it just ran across my mind.
Huh?
Do you believe that in some cases, men could have a hate, and some women, say vice versa, that they could have a hate inside of them that overwhelms them to be loving or to be thought, you know, in a relationship.
You are hitting on a subject that I could just, you know what, I could walk away with this program right now. You got me? Am I okay? Okay.
Give me a 2-2.
You ready?
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah, I mean,
absolutely. You know why? Okay, I'm going to run my thing down.
Yeah, come on.
At the age of 7, I had a, you know, mom always worked, you know, and she hired in different people to babysit us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
young ladies, not men, young ladies. And, you know, she hired in one young lady from Avalon Gardens, and her name was Sharon. You remember her? Oh, no, you can't remember her. You were 2 years old.
Right. Okay.
That young lady, she was 15 going to 16. And, you know, she wasn't so nice, you know what I mean? She kind of like made me do things.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah.
And,
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, she molested me, okay. We'll put it out there.
Okay.
And, you know, it was not a pleasant thing, you know. It was kind of like dramatic.
Mm.
So, and then on top of that, when I told Mom, put me.
Oh.
I'll never forget that, you know, because I'm here telling her and trying to explain to her, you know, what this person is doing. And, you know, everything's making it look like I'm the liar and, I'm making this up. And you know what I mean? And,
right,
and,
right.
And you know, and then,
right.
So Mom finally got rid of her and hired her sister, and her sister was verbally abusive.
Oh, really?
Okay. And the reason I'm going to touch with that hate thing is because that's when, remember when the fire happened, when I set the bed on fire with the babysitter?
Yeah, I was nine.
Huh?
I believe I was 9 months old.
Yeah, and that's what
nine
reoccurred from that's what reoccurred from her
so
sister.
Wow.
And so go ahead.
So you mean to tell me when you set the babysitter on fire and ran outside with me, and when I was 9 months old, that was the reason why?
Yeah,
that's what.
Because her sister had, manipulated. Manipulated the situation, and
wow.
You know, she got me all messed up with Mom, and
oh.
My mom was coming down on me, but Mom didn't want to hear what I had to say, you know, because I guess I didn't know how to articulate it. I didn't know how to say, well, Mom, this girl is making me put my penis somewhere I don't want it to be.
Wow.
And I didn't know how to say, you know, I mean, I didn't know nothing. You know, Mom kept us sheltered. We didn't know nothing about no, you know.
Oh. Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
And so, in the long run of it all, yeah, I think you can, you know. And then after, okay, that was six. Then when I turned seven, we moved to a different location, and then we had Donna. And Donna was more mature. She was 19.
Wow.
And she finished it off. She took it to home base.
Oh my goodness! Are you so? You know, that is so, you know, I kind of know about it. That is so, I mean, and that's, I think that's why today you have to be so careful with your children that, you know, I mean, really, I don't know. I don't know what to say because, see, to me, that is a violation for anybody. You know how I feel about that. It's like it's a violation for anybody to take advantage of a child. And, you know, God bless those ladies, you know, for doing that. You know, I hope they are all right in their lives, but that's what I need to bring. You know, I mean, you got so many people out here that are sick-minded, and you know, you got to understand why parents, you know, the show we had about the kids, who's raising the kids, you know, the parents, you know, you got to be so careful because you don't know who the babysitter might, what the babysitter might be up to, you know what I mean? And these things kind of define, you know, what makes us who we are when we become adults. You know, those kinds of things, you know, and that's really, 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 that right there made you, so you had not a highlight of what women were about? Pretty much.
Well, not only did it make me, you know, because she took it to another level, she took it to the abuse level, she would, you know, if I didn't do what she wanted me to do, she would hit me in the head with a plastic bread rolling pan, and
wow.
She took it to a whole nother level. And then after, you know, fighting with me to make me do whatever, she took it to the point of getting me high with weed. Now I'm 7 years old, okay?
Oh no.
And so she took it to that, and then the drinking, and smoking the weed and. Then I was smoking cigarettes at seven. Yeah.
Did you ever tell Mom any of that?
I mean, well, I didn't want to tell mom nothing after I got beat the first time for telling her about the first babysitter. I mean, you learn. I mean, you know.
Wow.
Come on.
Oh, no. Okay. You know what? We're going to have to do a show about, because I'm quite sure there are other children out there that are probably going through that right now. So we probably need to do tomorrow night show on that. And I'll go ahead and I'll advertise that real early, because I'm quite sure, you know, maybe there's something. And, you know, my experience that I had as well. So, you know, with that, we'll kind of bring it out to try to bring out children. Because, see, if your mom don't listen to you, right, and she you done told her and somebody else is doing it to you, then, you know, what would you tell a kid who's going through that right now? You know, so we need to kind of, yeah, we're going to have to touch on that on another show. But, yeah, because I'm quite sure there's a lot of children out there who are probably going through that right now who nobody's really listening to them, you know.
But that's set the premise. That set the premise for me to not, you know, care about what I did to women, or, you know, not care about how I treated them, or not really honor their feelings or honor their emotions, because, you know, hey, I had been abused. And you know, I didn't think about it till later in life. You understand what I'm saying? As I was running the streets and doing what I was doing, I didn't think about it until one day I sat down and I thought about it, and I said, man, I am taking it out on everybody. And I was. And that's just the truth. Because, you know, when someone takes your innocence, it does something to you. And, you know, and no matter guy, girl, whatever the situation might be, you know what? When you're young, it messes your head up. That's just it. And
you know,
so that.
I've talked to some people, and I think this maybe is because they, I don't know what mindset that they have been through, you know, that. And they kind of glorify the fact that, you know, well, some men, because I haven't heard any females who have said, yeah, you know, about the molestation thing. But I met a lot of guys who, they first time, they, you know, that happened to them. Some woman took their innocence and you know, they kind of glorify it. Like, you know, and that's the number one reason why they sleep around with older women to this day.
Okay. Okay. Now, let's put this thing in perspective. Okay, so now she'd have taught me everything. She'd have taught me oral sex. She'd have taught me regular sex, missionary, this, different, everything you can imagine. You know what? I had my first climax when I was 8.
How did you?
I remember it. I remember it to this day. Let me tell you. So now I'm in school. She's going about her business. I'm at school, and now I have an adult mindset.
Wow.
Okay, so now I'm looking for girls to do that.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you see what I'm saying? So how could you glorify? How could I glorify that?
So what, you just pretty much shoved it down and just kept it behind?
No, they had them in there, you know. I remember my first experience was with a girl from Belize. I guess in Belize they start early. So I remember, fifth grade, fourth grade, somewhere around there.
Always private school too, huh?
No, this was over at 24th Street School in L.A.
Oh, so you weren't it? So this didn't happen? Because I found a lot about the private schools going on cracking too with this. It's amazing that the thing.
I went to St. Lawrence, and that was a co-ed, but St. John Bosco was that was a whole another ball game.
Oh wow. Okay. So you pretty much from age to age, you just...
From age six to, you know, to my through my teens, you know, so my fix was sex. That's just it. Point blank, period.
I recall. You were quite something else, I do recall.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You know, it was so funny. I thought about the other day, I just said, man, how did I make it through? Man, I mean, you know, most guys, you know, they got a weed habit, they got a this habit, they got a. Well, I had a habit of sex, and you know, and it was, you know, it was sort of like at one point it was like I had to have it, I don't know, 9-10 times a day.
And, you know, found that kind of funny because, you know, reflecting, you know, you were very stern and, you know, strict on me and, you know, what it, you know, nobody could really talk to me and stuff like that. You were very strict. Speaking of that, that's like, okay, in the sense of when, you know, nowadays, you know, there is now to the side of drug addiction, to the side of alcoholism and all, now, you know, there are people out here with sex addiction. What is your take on, you know, someone who could be, you know,
I believe with all my heart that I was a sexaholic, if that's what you want to call it. I believe that. And I believe, yeah, that's, I mean, you meet the right girl, you know, whatever, you know, you go forever, you know what I'm saying? And that's the way it was, you know. At one point, I remember having 9 girlfriends, and I had them for different reasons. And I remember,
you brought that up.
You remember, and you know, it was so that I would never lack
in anything.
When you break it all down, it was so I would never lack. And I thought about that. At first, I thought it was, you know, some give you clothes, some feed you, some this. I don't think so. I think it was more of a sexual thing. And you know, and I'm being honest with y'all. You know, I got to put it out there because that's the thing. Everybody want to hush about it, and people are all screwed up, and they're screwing your kids up.
Mm. Wow.
And that's it, you know. That's the bottom line. You know, you got people with issues that have been messed up, and they might not be so goody-goody. They might take it out on a child, or they might, you know what I mean? They might do some weird stuff.
Mm. Yeah.
And so we got to nip that in the bud, too, you know.
Gotta have some more shows that's more geared toward making parents aware of some things. You know, I do try to represent as much as I can to parents about, you know, the wrongs that I did in raising my kids and the things that I did that, you know, I wish I could have corrected, you know, so we can have a better understanding and communication with our kids. And as you know, the healing circle brought me and my kids, you know, closer together. I was able to understand them and relate to them. And they were able to I made a lot of different mistakes, you know. I try to share that, you know, just like you said about us being sheltered, you know, sheltered children. You know, they once they get up out of that house, they fly like little butterflies, you know.
Because I did it.
You know, I mean, you know, you don't want your child to have to run like a slave, you know, running from the Underground Railroad. You know, you don't want the child to run from you. You know, also, too, like what you said about your girls, you know, about telling them about their relationship. You know, it's the way you got to approach certain situations so that the daughter don't run off and be, you know, go exactly to the left side.
Let me tell you something. No matter how you do it, and you know what, Jenny, you've done a good job. Yeah, I mean, it was only you, you know. And you just wanted the best for them. That is nothing wrong with that. You know. Matter of fact, I see it as a plus. You know, because you know we need more people that will stand up to their children. And you know that's the point. Everybody want to be living the way their children are living instead of being a parent. You know, I don't want to be my kid's best friend. I want to be their daddy. I don't want to be, you know, cool with them. Because when you get cool with them, they get too familiar with you. They think they can say anything. They think they're on your level. See, I have to get on my wife all the time. She's trying to stay young with them. How are you going to tell them something you young with them? You can't tell them nothing. And then the first thing that happens is when they get smart with her feelings hurt. Well, yeah, they get smart with their friends, don't they now? So you have to take the stance of a parent. I didn't like a lot what my mom said, but you know what? When I got wrong, and when everything she said came to light, everything that lady said came. She said it's gonna be a day you're gonna wish you was a kid. Well, boy, but let me tell you. She said,
"Wouldn't you love to crawl back into somebody's womb? Wouldn't you love to crawl back into somebody's womb?"
You know what, girl? You know what? I would crawl back, and I would not crawl back out. because it's this ain't no place that this ain't a comfort zone. But these kids, they think they know everything. They don't understand we've already done it. We've been there. We got a medal, and we can tell them.
Well, I can say this one thing, though. Back then in the day, parents weren't, your mom and them, women of prayer, they kept a lot of stuff on their damn low. A lot of things that they didn't say, I'm just saying, they didn't tell us some things, they gave us perception of what they wanted us to believe a lot of times. So with that, though, as you grew older, you look back and you say, well, that is not, especially when you catch her up in something and she like, what did you just say? You said, our mom did, so she didn't just keep it 100. She'd tell you what you should do, but she never would tell you the reason why she knew for sure you should do that. She just say this is what you should do. And then, like what Jackie was saying, you can't be shouting at kids, telling them what we want. Now, as long as, like I said, as long as they ain't under your roof and they're in your care, you have every right to make sure that, you, like you said, you are the parent, you're the one, I'm, because when it come down to it, just like the Saturday night show, what do you want? Do you want the police to, reprimand and discipline your children out there on the streets and, lay them out? Because that's what's going to really basically happen. If we don't take care of our children ourselves, if we don't raise them, if we don't gear them towards success, the police will lay them out, and say they had a hoodie on. And, the bottom line is, hey, you should have told your kid not to wear no hoodie.
Well, like I said, when my daughters, I got seven, when they brought home people they were going to marry, when I sit down with them and I told them, I said, well, baby girl, I don't think this one's going to make it. And she said, I know him. I said, how long you know? I've known him for 2 years. I said, oh, really? I said, what's his favorite color? She couldn't tell me that. I said, well, what's his favorite team? Well, what do you know about him? What do you really know about him? She could tell me all that. But she knew him. Okay. I said, I think you better take some time and figure out who you're dealing with, because this guy here has got a lot of secrets. And she said, Dad, you don't know him, and you don't like him. You don't this, you don't that. I said, well, you know what? 5 years from now, you're going to be regretting that you married this guy. She said, oh, that's negativity, la, la, la. No, I said, that's mother wit. I was taught that by my mother. And she said, oh, that. Well, 5 years passed. Guess who she caught on the internet with his tallywhacker out on the internet having phone sex with every bimbo out there?
Did you blow it up like
just like that?
Oh, no.
And who did she come to? I said, oh, it's the 5 year mark, huh? Dad, I need you.
I need you right now.
Wait, no, this is how it works. I need you to sit down while I tell him I'm getting a divorce. I said, see, you wouldn't even have to do all that if you would have got the right guy.
Yeah.
Just because a man has good sex with you and makes you go, ooh, 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 don't mean it's Mr. Right. Because you gotta understand, if he can make you go ooh 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 so easy, he's making a lot of people go ooh ooh. That's reality, and that's what women don't understand. They don't understand that, this guy, he's not good. He's not that good for nothing. He's good because he had a lot of practice. He's been around.
Been around the block and back around and coming back.
He's been around the block, and let me tell you something. He's been around the block, and it's more like a career move for him. We got these girls with that fake impression. They think that their stuff is the best on earth. Well, no, not to a guy. A guy is like a dog, a predator. And they got to figure that out. And unfortunately, a lot of people get hurt because they don't figure it out in time.
Whoa. You know what? You know it's getting close to 1 o'clock, and as we always let everybody know, go ahead to charge up your phones, plug them in, make sure your phones are up and ready, because we're going to go ahead and take it into that third hour as we always do. I know you still be out there, brother. I take it out with my outro, and we'll do the outro. But before I take it out, I'm going to leave you guys with this one. This is a little something I wrote. You guys can let me know what you think about it. And then we'll go to the outro, and then after 1 o'clock, we'll pick it back up where we left off. All right? This one is called Don't Give Up the Goodies, you guys. Okay, listen to this one. You think you got game. Well, you a damn shame. How you gonna diss a bitch? Go see that other trick. Telling me about his hard dick? He act like his shit is made of gold. Simply because them sucking ass bitches are just too old. Worn, torn, and need to be reborn to another hole. One that knows to say no and have some expectations of who she might be instead of giving up all that milk for free, you guys. So we're going to go ahead and take that out. That was a little something I put together for, you know, somebody I was representing for. So, you know, send that shout out there to him, too. All right, here you go. We're going to take it on out. It is September 11, 2011, broadcasting 2012, sorry, broadcasting live out of Long Beach. Here we go. Ask yourself what it is that you can do to make a difference in your community, in your lives, in your families, in your relationships.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, you're back with Gina's Groove Theory. It is now 12:59 a.m. We're going to go ahead and take it right on over. Here we go, you guys.
DJ SR, play something heavy.
He's saying he's your best friend, and he's always the one in your ear. I know that he's been waiting to get my ass up out of here. It's been a couple months now, and maybe I am not surprised, but I'm a real nigga. Girl, how you gonna take it side?
Encouraging note, it is now 1:04 a.m., September 11th, 2012. Much love to all of you guys out there listening. As an encouraging note, before we get back into our conversation, I'm going to share something with you. It's called, and I wrote it, it's called When My Eyes Opened. When it is that the people you hold close to your heart always seems to try to make you feel that you have wronged them in some way or another. Maybe it may be their own inferior feelings of insecurity that compel them to pass off their inequities onto you. And their failures to succeed and surpass over their own personal problems are too complex and complicated. They seek to find weakness in others so that they can bring to the forefront the flaws and imperfections I or you may have. But after years of self-analyzing myself, every perspective of my life and my once distorted perceived notion that I had it all under control began to crumble, and the world that I had been living in was a superficial one, and it was only as real as I wanted it to believe in it or wish it could have been. The lesson I learned was the only one that I have control over is myself, and that any changes I feel need to be addressed are the ones that take place within me. So I look into the mirror and I make the decision from that point on, I will start to change with me. With all honesty, full intent, I will take a deep and thorough evaluation of all the things that I do, be it wrong or right, and make the conscious decision to change. Change for the better so that I can live free of prejudice and persecution towards any human being. Now, I won't ever speak of the actions of another, but the actions of Regina. It is one of the hardest tasks I've had to do to look at myself, but over time, it has become one of my greatest attributes to my character and to the people who I serve. No bias and no blame. There it is, you guys. Let's go ahead and tap back in. Hello, hey. Hello, hi.
Hey, you talking to me, Jenna? You talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you. Yeah, I touched back in with you. What's going on? I just shared my writing. I just shared my writing, you know, threw that out there right quick.
Yeah, that's pretty nice. I'm going through the mountains, so if you lose me, you got to call me back, okay?
Oh, well, you know what? Maybe I should just go ahead and call you right now back on. You know why I can't? Well, you know what? I can't call out after 1 o'clock, but you'll be all right. You know, we got the blood
okay.
You know, on our side. Pretty much, you know, how I dropped it about the, you know, everybody has a perception of what they think that relationships should be all about. You know, you got a lot of people out here playing games. I kind of got into words with a friend of mine about the whole issue about having an extramarital, you know, relations out of the marriage and, you know, people coming up with this whole issue about marriage being an open marriage. You know, I mean, if it was meant to be that way, then, you know, why even have marriage at all if that's what, you know, we were going to start, you know, I mean, open marriage. What is open marriage? That's like dating to me. So as far as I'm concerned, everybody wants open marriages. They want open relationships, and everybody want everything to be open and out and, you know, out there in the forefront. Everybody's like, hey, let it all hang out pretty much. So, I mean, what do you expect? I mean, you know, you coming clean and saying, you know how you pretty much view women and you know, and you keeping it real. You know, not too many men out here want to come out and say that they did X amount of things and they lived the life that, you know, you have and can admit it today and want to give, you know, other people out there. And, yeah, I mean, because not only to the woman but to the men, you know, you give them something to think about, you know, to say, well, hey, they need to start, you know, I mean, really, if they're going to be in the game to play games, then, you know, this is all I say. Stay in your own backyard.
Well,
you know,
you don't have to have many women to get, you know, to get satisfied. You just have to have the right woman. You know, if you just pick the right woman, then you won't have to have many women to you know, make it happen for you. You know, that's one thing. That's why I stuck with my wife all these years. You know, that's the right woman for me. She's like a soulmate. You know, and that's why our thing lasted this long. You know, because she put up with my garbage and I put up with her garbage, and you know, eventually we settled down and got it right. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I just ask people to take your time and pick a good mate, and pick someone that has what you need and has what you want, so that you don't have to go looking for it in other places. Because I know how it is, you know. It's either you get somebody that really good in bed and they can't cook, or you get that 20% thing, you know. You get somebody that's got a car and they're no good in bed, you know. You never get it right, you know. So you got to get somebody that's well-rounded, that fits your needs, to settle down with. And so that they will become a good mate for you, you know, or somebody you can talk to. A lot of people They get with somebody because they look good, but they can't hold a conversation. What's that? You're lonely on the end of conversation and intimacy, but you got someone that looks good on your arm. That's kind of like dumb.
And
so you need to.
A lot of men claim that they're not really good communicators either. A lot of people say they're not good communicators. And
They need to learn because a woman is emotional. Men are logical. And a woman is emotional, and they're going to want to talk. Guys got to get out of the box on that. I don't want to talk, and I'm going to my man cave, and all the cliches that's been going on through the years, because that's why divorce is happening. Because a woman, sometimes she has to express herself because maybe it's something heavy on her heart that she has to let off. Now, here's the man. Well, I don't want to talk about it. Well, next thing you know, she's talking about it to Bill and Jim and Jack and everybody else.
Okay.
In their bed.
Whoa. Okay. Well, oh, no, she didn't slip on the banana peel.
Oh, she
that's
didn't. She went across the floor. She went across the floor and fell on the bed. Yeah.
Okay. But you're not saying by any means that that gives anybody the right to go out and do this. But you know what?
No, I'm not. But what I am saying is, well, if they have no outlet, if you have no outlet, pretty soon they're going to get tired of the same old routine, and they're going to go looking.
That brings up the whole subject too, and I know that's another show, but you know, if that's the case, well, you know, hey, you know, you can look any way you wanna look. God gave you eyes to see. But you know what? Why don't you go ahead and tell the people that you know you're dealing with that you looking. You know what I'm saying? You tell the people that you out there tricking and tramping.
I mean, these things happen like this, you know. Okay, the husband, he's neglecting the wife. He's not giving her time. He's not listening to her needs. He's not there for her. And here comes the water man. The water man knocks on the door. He don't matter. Sparkless, Yosemite, whatever it might be. He's saying all the right things to your woman. Oh, is that right? Oh, well, I'll listen to you. I'm going to be there for you. Now they have built a relationship. Next thing you know... There you go. There you go. The waterman is in your bed. Yep, that's right. And he's in your bed because you didn't do your job. You did not do your job. You did not take care of her emotional needs. And that's where men lose it. And women lose it because women, they sit up there and they try to take a grab of something that they can't. They need to sit back and relax. And come at it at another angle instead of being so aggressive with a man, because you be aggressive with a man, first thing he's going to look for is a lady. He's not going to look for her. He doesn't need anything aggressive. He needs something soft. You catch more bees with honey, ladies. When you're soft with a man, then you got him. You got him. I'm going to say something else. You got him. But when you get hard with him... Any old body, because you just like a homeboy at that point. So, you know, we have to learn how to treat each other so we can have good relationships. Go ahead, Jenna.
Hey, yeah, I got somebody at home who has something to say about that. Why do we put a lot of emphasis on what women should do? What happened to this men? What are, you know, why put so much emphasis on what women should do? What about what it is that men should do? That's coming from the outside world texting it in.
Well, you want me to answer that, or are you gonna answer that?
No. You know what? Hey, you know I'm rolling with you.
All right. Well, I don't put it on. If you just listen, if you hear me now, I put it on men too. I put it on everybody.
Yeah,
We all. I've never been one sided. I never will be, because we all have to get it together to make it work. I put a lot in the corner of women because women have a lot of more control than they think they do. Women, this world would not exist if it wasn't for women. Women are nurturers, and what they do is they make things work. They know how to cuddle and teach love and teach, you know, all the things men don't have. Matter of fact, you find a good relationship when you find a woman that has something a man needs, and a man that has something that a woman needs. you put them both together, and then you become whole. So I put a lot on women because women, they teach the kids. They teach the kids how to love. They teach the kids how to react at certain points. And then the man comes in when the kids become 12, and he takes over from there. That's Bible. The Bible states that. So, you know, it's a him and her thing. But, you know, we have to get it together so we can put the puzzle pieces together so we can have a good relationship. Okay. Gina?
I know you like shoot it from both sides of the table about what men and women should do, but then also too, you know, is there anything? From what I would gather from that, I would say, is there anything that you could probably, you know, say as far as you know, say as a guy who kind of grew up like you and kind of feel like you do right now. You know, the way you used to be, you know, and he's in battle with, you know, because, you know, I find a lot of men, you know, they're in battle with, you know, the choices they make, but, you know, they secretly, you know, just like my friend had told me about men who, you know, men cry in the dark, you know, I mean, they have a lot of, you know, issues that, you know, that are embedded in them from being from childhood, too. And, you know, is there, you know, just like you. So, I mean, is there anything that you could say or any warning signs that you could command to, you know, to acknowledge, you know, whatever it was that took you might have worked for you, but, you know, something that universally can work for someone who, another male out there who probably is going through the same thing you're going through, you went through, you know, the you know, hating of women. You know what? It's not, you're not the only male who has been through what you've been through. So, you know, because I hear a lot of men. Like I say, majority of them, their first experience and with the older lady, how they had a good time. You know, they don't seem like they're scarred or anything like that, or that, you know, it defined who they are, but maybe it did. Who knows? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. If I'm breaking up, I'm going through the mountains. So just let me know. I can't, you know.
Anyway,
if there's anything that I would tell men, to start loving themselves, because that's what it took me to do. It took me to start loving myself so that I could dish out love. You can't dish out anything that you don't have inside of you. So I had to start loving myself so that I could understand how other people felt and I could respect their feelings. And to respect a woman's feelings, that's all she wants. A woman's soft, you know, and she wants somebody to love her right. She wants somebody to be able to talk to. And what that does for you guys, that opens up a doorway for you to be able to talk to your woman about anything. And you and believe me, that nurturing part of her come out, and that'll help you with your situation. My wife helped me a lot with my situation because she talked to me night upon night upon night until, you know, I felt good about it and I felt good about myself. And, you know, that's we need each other. That's what it boils down to. But the man has to take the first step in this thing so that he can make sure that he safeguards the woman's feelings. And that's what it's all about. That's why you got so many men who would rather have booty calls, just that, because you got to put work in for your woman. If you want your woman to love you and have that super love for you, well, you got to figure her out. You just can't just jump on top of her, make her come, and think that's all what it's about. That's not what it's about. It's about you spending time talking, figuring each other out, and finding out what makes each other tick. And then coming back and placing it together and putting everything in the right spot.
You know, that is so correct. Do you know what I find? You know what I find that is interesting? What I can find that is interesting about, as far as me intellectually, you know, communicating with somebody intellectually, and you can talk about things that are, you know, in of nature, of the same nature. You can, what would you say, troubleshoot through things, and you kind of have the same interests. I would have to say maybe, you know, that might, you know, be kind of like the key to start with when you're considering to be dating. You know, just the environment you're around, the people who you tend to, you know, go out and mingle with. I guess, you know, it's kind of like that, not really putting that much emphasis on it, but saying if you want a higher, you know, standard, then maybe you should put yourself in higher places.
Well, you know, there's so many techniques, you know, that you can use. You know, like you know, like I told you, I knew I was a nymphomaniac, so I looked at many different ways of, you know, of having intimacy. And, you know, you don't have to penetrate a woman to satisfy her. You can satisfy her by holding her and hugging her and assuring her that you'll be there for her. See, guys don't want to put that work in, and that's where we're falling short right there. You know, they don't want to give them the romance that comes along with the pleasure. And they think that, you know, the pleasure is just the penetration. It's a little bit more to it. And for what they want. They want that. They want a woman to love them right. Well, they got to treat the women right.
You know what? Come to think about that too. Just in defense of, you know, when you say romantically, I think that's what you were telling me the night before. Like, well, earlier when we were talking about it, you were saying that sometimes us women, and, you know, I don't think men have the problem as much as we do, is confusing sex with romance.
Right. They are.
For women, we tend to confuse sex with being loved. Or, I mean, you know, I mean, well, you know that. I know we do put more on it. We all, right? But we read much more into it than what it really is, and that's something that probably we need to start, you know. And you know what I've learned, though? You know, you have to kind of, like, put yourself, and I guess that's because I do have a little testosterone that runs through my body that I can back it up and be like, what? You know, hey. So you can cut those ties and you just let that go. You know, you gotta be able to be tough and walk off on some shit. You know, step and be gone. You know, that's where I stand. You know, because, you know, hey, it doesn't take much for someone to, you know, manipulate a situation to their pleasure. You know, so now you gotta cut it out.
Depending on, you know, what it is that you want, you know. I mean, some people, they want that temporary fix, you know. Then some people, they want that ultimate fix. And that ultimate fix is where I want to be. I don't want no temporary fix. Because the temporary fix means you're going to go out looking for it again and again and again and again. I would much rather have somebody that can, you know, make me feel and explode or implode on the inside. And so I'd be satisfied for the rest of the day. I'm good. I'm gone. I'm done. That's where I want to be. You know,
I said being well rounded. I mean, that's
right. I like it like this. I like it like if I start thinking about my wife and my wife calls me, that's what I like. I like that connection right there. I like it if I'm hungry. And I'm asleep. My wife wakes me up feeding me. That's what I like. You know what I'm saying? Those are the things that I like being right there. You know, I like the point of, you know, like when three or four of our kids, I like the point that I woke my wife up and said, you're in labor. I told her she was in labor because of how close we are. You know, how close we are, you know? And that bond right there is where the love is.
Wow, that's what me that's what we always talk about. You know, I talk a lot about spiritual prosperity, but then that's being on the same page spiritually, but also too, I can tell you, you know, even being on the same page with someone spiritually doesn't necessarily mean that you can still be on the same page. So it's a thin line between
love,
know,
and hate. It is.
Exactly.
Because you know, I mean, I remember when we were connected totally years back, and I remember, man, all we had to do is look each other, and we would explode from the inside out, and you know, and I do mean explode too, I do mean it, and you know, it was the craziest thing. We didn't even have to pull off our clothes.
I
so you know.
That.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Didn't even have to. I mean, it was that deep. It was so deep that her heart would stop. And we called the paramedics 3 times, so I know. So you know, they were talking about. I'm just saying. You know, I ain't bragging. I'm just saying three times that you know, until the doctor warned us. He told us we couldn't do it no more.
Oh. Well, y'all wasn't knocking down boots like that, was you? No.
No, it was just so. It was such a drain on her. It was such a drain on her emotions that you know that she stopped breathing. She just stopped.
That's your wife though. That's the same person you right now. Oh,
yeah.
That's so sweet. Oh. You're gonna make a meal.
But you see, that's the other level. That's the level that people don't know about, and that's the level that they should seek.
Well, you know what, Mom did tell me about. She said when you know that you're in love with someone, they can make love to you with their mind. That's one thing, Mama.
There you go.
They gotta be some pretty hot. They gotta be some pretty hot folks. The hot. You know,
I remember.
I think that was an island thing because you know our mom, she gave island men, and that's why we.
Yeah, she
you know,
loved those island men.
Yeah,
yeah.
Funny. Yeah.
But I'll tell you this. I remember. You know, this is when we were. I don't know. We were about 18, and we had a contest who could make who do what the most, and I remember that. She took me up to about 22. And I took her up to about 48. And I remember we didn't get out of that. We were stuck in bed forever. We couldn't even get out of bed. And I remember these things because these are the special things that nobody else done or nobody else could do to me. And, you know, and that's what made it special. And that's why I'm here for the long haul right now. I think I go back to those things. I remember to show you, I remember what made me fall in love with my wife.
Should we more so start focusing on things that we can find that are most appealing in the people we're using to date?
Well, what we should do, we should be more open-minded, you know, because the very thing that made me fall in love with my wife was the very thing I hated.
Well, sorry for that. I was like,
I'll break it down. We were walking in front of Martin Luther King, and it was me, my wife, and her, and Yolanda. Remember Yolanda? It was me, my girlfriend Yolanda, and my wife was my girlfriend's best friend, one of her friends.
Oh, that's another show.
That's a whole other show. And my wife was, you know, I hated bell bottoms. I hated bell bottoms with a passion. I don't care who wore them or how they wore them, I could not stand bell bottoms. And my wife had on some beige bell bottoms, and you know she's really really shapely, and I was looking at her walk, and her man, she was just beautiful in the bell bottoms. And in my mind, I heard music. It was like some love song was playing. And next thing you know, I was on her like white on rice, and she made me wait. She made me wait 6 months.
So we should wait. We should choose May said that'll wait on us. No, I'm just
I mean, it was like, huh?
What do you think about the 90-day hold?
Well, that's,
you know,
kind of extreme. 90 days. I mean, you know, I don't know. You know, because well, I guess it depends on the individual. Some people could do it. 90 days is kind of extreme. I think you know, in a serious relationship. However long it takes, I'll go there. However long it takes. Because you never know if somebody was, you know, messed up or hurt from their prior relationship, and they need some time to get that other person out of their system.
So what do you say about the first time date?
Well, it depends on the people, because I, you know, in my lifetime, I've met some pretty crazy people on the first date, you know, and it turned into relationships.
From what you know now, you know, what would you say for men and women? Should they wait before they, I mean, because, you know, women are always, you know, we're always pulling 90-day on a brother. So I'm talking about, you know,
well, it depends on the situation. You will know if it's the right person. Women know. Women can look at you two seconds and know if they're gonna sleep with you. Come on, women know. You know, and I'm not advocating sleeping with people. I'm not advocating that because I, you know, that's not where I'm coming from. Where I'm coming from is you know who turns you on. But the problem is you have to know beyond the turn on point.
Yeah,
you have to know them. You have to get familiar with who they are. You have to know the person. Forget about the penis. Let's talk about the person.
The vagina. Hello.
Yeah.
Or the vagina. Either way it goes.
Hey, come on. Either way, whatever rocks your boat. Because
you
gotta understand. Go ahead.
You gotta admit, shit. Sometimes you could be with a person for a million years and not really truly know them. So.
Well, that's because you didn't take the time to figure it out. You didn't take the time to figure it out. It's your responsibility to figure out who you with because it could very well cost your life.
Yeah, that's one thing we can't promote is, you know, do the right thing when it comes down to that because, you know, protect yourselves, people, because, you know, hey.
I never saw such a careless society where you can be with somebody and not know who you're with. You hear about it so much. Oh, he was such a nice guy. Why did he kill the whole family? Well, if you would have took the time and found out who he was, you could have got out of there in time to save your life.
Oh, you ain't saying. Oh, I get it. So in other words, you talk about when with the you know the tragedy happens and then everybody's like, well, he was such a nice person, and come to find out.
That's exactly right, and nobody took the time to find out what made him tick or who he was. They just took it for granted, and that's what people do. They get comfortable, and they just take it for granted that this person is what they see, instead of going on the inside and finding out what's inside of
them. You know, speaking of that, one of the shows it was going to be for tonight was going to be it was going to be about suicide. So I figure out, because you know we had a death over Saturday morning. We had a suicide. So I'm going to, you know, do a show about you know, speaking on that, on the flip side of that too, because a lot of people are doing, they're killing themselves. You know, just like the director who jumped off the St. Thomas Bridge. So, you know, we're going to touch on doing some things about, you know, whether, you know, and from my point of view, from my human service point of view, and hopefully we can have, you know, Cherokee and, you know, some of the other people out here who can come in and represent on what are the signs that we can see where, you know, when people are in that kind of distress, you know, because we do need to start paying more attention. And if we do pay attention, I mean, pretty much I guess everybody has to really get sharp on their people skills. You know, pretty much.
Right.
You get sharp on your people skills.
Well, if you do that, you save yourself so much trouble. I mean, you know, you know, if you pay attention, you'll find out if you were a guy and he's gay. Or if you pay attention, you'll find out if you were a pedophile. Or you'll find out, you know, you pay attention. Because one thing, let's go back to that thing about when people, another thing about people that sleep around a lot, they have a lot of spirits on because of impartation. Remember you were talking about that earlier?
Yeah, you had told me that. Yeah, you gave me much props on something I had did. Yeah, that was cool.
When people have spirits from sleeping with other people, okay, let me break it down. People don't understand why God does not want them to sleep around. He don't want them to sleep around because there's a passing of spirits with every person that you sleep with. So if that person you slept with, okay, now if that person you slept with 30 people, and the 30 people he slept with 300 people, now you got 330 spirits inside of you. From impartation. You got that from sleeping with him. So do you ever wonder why you get weird cravings and stuff like that?
Oh. Why?
It's not you. It's because the spirits that has been passed to you through intercourse with your mate. And that's why God does not want, that's why he wants you to settle down and, you know, be a virgin, be this, that, the other, because of the transfer of spirit.
So I do kind of feel that way too, you know, and not even from the religious point of view. I just feel that, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, because you start to get trouble, you know, you start to go through stuff that, you know, you normally wouldn't go through, you know, I mean, you start putting up with things that you would put up with. Because your mind
and the different spirits, and you start liking things that you wouldn't have liked. Your eating habits have changed. Your friends have changed. A whole bunch of you have changed because you got different spirits that are living on the inside of you that you truly don't know how to get rid of. Now, how do you get rid of them? You go sleep with somebody and they jump on him.
Wow.
And it's a never ending trend. So, you know, that's why people, you know, commit suicide. That's why people, I mean, there's so many different things. That's why people that never did drugs automatically start doing drugs. People pick up guns and start shooting people that never liked guns because of these transfers of spirit.
Wow. Yeah. I kind of do trust and believe in that particular thing. I do, yeah. You know, and then also too, if it's a situation with any skin on skin, I could just, yeah, that right there hit the nail on the head, my brother. Thank you very much for that one. Yeah, I do trust and believe. I do believe in that too. There are other things that we should be aware of too. And do you believe that even protected, you can still get the spirit of someone else that you're sleeping with?
Well, you know, it's a passing back and forth, you know. I mean, as you sleep with him, you know, the spirit passes on to you, and then it passes on to him, and then it passes on to you, and it passes on to him. You know, it goes back and forth, and it depends on how many people you guys have slept with. So that's why, you know, you get confused, and you don't know why. Or your emotions are not right. You don't know why. Because, you know, you really can't make up your mind because there's so many different emotions. You become emotionally unstable. That's where depression comes in. And the first thing people say when they're depressed, I don't know why I'm sad. And they're telling the truth. They don't know why they're sad. They're sad because there's so many different things on the inside of them fighting. And which sometimes they come out as personalities, different personalities, like you remember Sybil, something like that. You there?
Yeah, I'm right here. That can go way far back.
Yeah.
That can go way far back.
Then they set a foundation within you, and you end up losing yourself.
Yeah, and your purpose. Wow.
Well, you know, they stand at the forefront of your life, and your real spirit takes a step back.
Mm.
So you start having spirits doing different jobs that your real spirit won't do. Okay, let's say you need to be bold. Okay, you got the bold spirit that'll come out. Or let's say you want to cuss out somebody, you got the cussing spirit that'll come out. Let's say you have the seductive spirit that comes out. Before you know it, you got a spirit for everything that you do.
Wow. Just with that, I'm gonna go ahead and take a short little break, and I'm gonna go ahead and play just in acknowledgement of what we're talking about. What we're saying pretty much basically in the days to come, we need to slow it down, back it up, take it easy, and figure out what it is that we're looking for and see what it is in these people that we're dealing with. That, you know, are we going to find what we're looking for? Can we see it? Is it deep down inside? Hang out there with me, Bishop. We'll be right back after 2 and 2. Here it is, Mary J. Slow down.
Slow down, baby. The loving ain't going nowhere.
Hey.
When we make love, baby, all we got
Everybody, you're back with Gina's Groove Theory. It is now 1:43 in the a.m., September 11, 2012. Thank you for being out here tonight. We're going to go ahead. We're going to take out this last, 15 minutes, and we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about what it is that we can do. Where are you guys at with it? I'm going to send some shouts out for some spiritual things. Keep you guys updated on some things. By the way, I haven't been representing for Shades of Africa. It's located at 101 East 4th Street in Long Beach, 90804. Shades of Africa is a culturally motivated story. You can find sage, you can find shea butter, natural, you can find anything that you the beauty things for your hair, for your skin, for your nails, for your spirit, for your soul. Hey, she even has stones for you that you can rub on and change your mood. And there's a lot of little things, books, and by authors that you wouldn't find normally in your Nobles and Barnes and Nobles or anything like that. Very cultural driven books and poetry, and as well as oils and body oils and things that she makes of her own. So you guys should check that out here in Long Beach. She also has a store. Her second store is out in the IE. That's out in Corona, California. Shades of Africa spelled with a K, you guys. So go ahead and check her out. She is one of the most motivating women that I've met in quite a long time. She is awesome, and she always spreads her love and her joy and her wisdom with us out here. And with much love to her. Send a shout out to Renee. Hey, Bishop, what's going on?
I'm here, Gina.
Yeah, I found that last song kind of suitable for the whole occasion.
Oh yeah. I'm sitting here now. I'm just thinking, I'm just saying, wow.
Yeah, I had to represent, you know how I got to do it. Come on.
You're doing a good job. You know, as long as we have some people, you know, overcome some of the obstacles that, you know, damage your lives, you know, that's all that matters to me, you know. You know, if 10 people, you know, this helps them out, so be it, you know. That's what it's here for. And, you know, it's a good idea you had coming up with this radio station so that, you know, we could help the community.
Well, you know what? I'm thinking and making on plans what it is and how I'm going to continue to regulate this. You know, I mean, actually, you know, the kids biting me was how I got started with it. And, you know, it was just the overpouring support that I had from everybody out there, my friends included. And that got me to where I am today, you know, because before, you know, I mean, I wasn't, it was never one of my dreams to be on radio anyway. So, you know, this is new to me. So, you know, I'm just rolling with it. And I'm just keeping in mind that I have people out there who are depending on me to bring what it is that, information and resources that are available, you know, for the people out here. That's just where I'm at. Thank you.
That's a good thing. That's a good
thing. Yeah. So, I mean, with that, I must say, you know, I mean, you guys all make it very, very possible for me. So I can't, there's no other way I could do anything but to do it this way. So,
well, I mean, you know, like I said, it's a good thing, you know, because, you know, without, this is what makes leaders in a community, you know, people that have something to give back to the community, not just some words, but, you know, give something that has substance and that builds foundations. That's what we need, you know. One thing, us being a part of the black race or African-American or whatever you want to call it, you know, we don't have, our leaders suck. They really, they truly do. We don't have real solid leaders, you know what I mean? So, you know, the leaders that we do have in the communities, maybe we can get a real leader out of them. You know what I mean? You know, instead of all this hokey-pokey stuff we got going on now, you know, I don't need no more Jesse Jacksons or no Al Sharptons. I need somebody that's going to really make a change, if you know what I mean. I just can't. I can't fathom even thinking about what's going to happen to our children the way it is right now when they get grown. I don't even want to think about it because it's bad now. So how is it going to be when they get grown? And who do they have to turn to? Where are their leaders? They have none. So we have to build our own leaders and have our own leadership in our different communities so that we do have a foundation and we do have some motherhood left. Because that's one thing in this country, our black folks don't have motherhood like they used to have. It used to be a time, black person, you couldn't take them down. And now we're kind of weak. So, you know, we need to get strong again and overcome and know that we are still kings and queens. And that's just it. And we are superior, no doubt in my mind. But they don't want us to know it. But I know it for a fact. We're, each and every one of us is superior, and that's we need to act like we are, okay?
Pretty much you have to be what you say you are. You have to represent for who you say you are as well. You know, if we want to make anything different, if we want to make some changes, then we have to. Kind of, you know what I always tell my employees, you know, and I had hundreds. I always let them know that they needed to be more so, how do you say it? I said, you know, I have to lead by example for them to follow me. And so whenever I would tell them, you know, what they should do, how they should do things, I always spoke because, you know, I let them know that this is the way I did things. This is how, you know, I got to where I am, and I always remembered and I always acknowledged that it was you know, crawling before you walk. It's kind of a situation where you say crawling before you walk. You have to do all those things, and you know, if you're gonna show someone how to do anything, you know, how to you know, walk a walk, or how to change anything, how to make your community a little bit better. These are all things that you guys have to consider. You know, you have to consider that, you know, you're going to have to, nobody really wants to listen, and I'm going to be honest about it, nobody really wants to listen to anyone preaching a good one. They really want to hear what you really, you know, what you're really about, you know. I mean, if you can't show them that you walk in that walk and you talk in that talk, then, you know, nobody's really too much going to want to listen. So, with that, you know, they have to consider that. Are you all right out there?
Who, me?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm in the, like this. They're moving this big pole on the freeway, and I'm in this traffic going for 5 miles an hour. I'm coming over from Magic Mountain right now. Hey,
No, I wanted to thank you for coming out here with me tonight and sharing your knowledge with us as well, as you have been doing, and I think it's really encouraging for some people to at least know that if you can do it, anybody can do it too. So since we're down to like pretty much the end of the show, there's, you know, one last thing you'd like to give out there to the people to, you know, keep them motivated, keep them, you know, pushing.
Well, you know, I recommend that people start praying, because we're coming up on a time that we need God, and that's just it. We need Jesus, and that's one of the things that they don't want us to do. You know, they took the prayer out of the school. This country was built on prayer, and just because you pray, it don't mean you're a Bible thumper, and don't mean that you're square. It just means that you're getting ready for your blessings. And we need to pray more and understand what prayer brings into our homes. You know, a lot of homes have children that are out of hand. They're out of hand because the mother ain't getting on her knees and praying like she used to. You know, the Bible states that a praying mother.
It says
a praying mother, first of all. A praying mother, she's a blessing to her kids, and her kids will call her blessed. And it says for a father, he must cover his house with prayer, so that, you know, so that the house will be have a solid foundation, and the foundation being Jesus Christ. That man is the head of the house, but Jesus is the head over the man. So, you know, we have to go back to the basic principles that made this place great. And we know that we have an evil government, and we know that this place ain't nothing but hell. But you know what? There's a little taste of heaven in each and every one of us. We have to activate that so that we make our life easier. I'll leave you with that.
Well, thank you very much. And that is going to be it for the end of this show. It is September 11, 2012. Thank you, Bishop, for coming out here and sharing your words. And to everybody out there who's listening, keep your heads up, you guys. Keep your eye on what's important. Keep your eye on the ball, people. Learn how to encourage yourself, you know, bring yourself up, bring up your community, bring up your children. You know, like I say, you know, my favorite, I got to play it, though, because I get hyped. So trying to get hyped tonight. As far as, like I tell some people out there, say upgrade your guy, upgrade your girl, upgrade your families, you guys. So here you go. Beyonce and Jay-Z, upgrade ya.
Yeah, B. Talk your shit. It's time to let me upgrade. How you gonna upgrade me? Tired of number one. You know I used to beat that block. Now I bees the block.
Let me upgrade. I hear you beat the block, but I'm the light to keep the streets on. Notice you the type that likes to keep them on the leash, though. I'm known to walk alone, but I'm alone for a reason. Sending me a drink ain't appeasing. Believe me, come harder. This won't be easy. Don't doubt yourself. Trust me, you need me. This ain't no shoulder with a chip or an ego. But what you think, they all mad at me, though. You need a real woman.
infiltrated all the corporate dudes. They call shots, I call audibles. Shake up the jeweler, bubbles, the rain swart sort of dude. It's big ballin', baby, when I'm courting you. I'm talking spy bags and fly pads and rooms at the Bloomberg and rumors. You on the verge of a new merge, cause that rock on your fingers like a tumor. You can't fit your hand in your new purse. It's humorous to me, they watching and we just got an Allen hopping off of your mafia coast. Mafioso, oh baby, you ever seen satin? No, not the car, but everywhere we are. You sure to see stars, this is high level, not eye level. My bezel, courtesy your Audemars, I order yours tomorrow. Now look at the time I saved ya, mama let me upgrade ya.
Just when you think you had it all, big income, collecting cars, picture your life. Cartier, top clips, silk line blazers, diamond coupe facials, CBS